Welcome to University Drive, your pathway to the transformational work of University of the Bahamas. Our goal is to build a better Bahamas by shaping tomorrow's leaders today, finding solutions to challenges, and forging new opportunities for growth. University Drive, where faculty, staff, students, and alumni travel the road of progress together with you.
Hello and welcome to University Drive. I'm your host, Nikki Bo, and today I'm so excited to have my colleagues from UB North in studio with us to talk about an exciting experience and trip they recently had and participated in and to share their experience. My guests today are Dr. Lethira Munnings and Dr. Adrian Bethel, both from UB North, and this show promises to be engaging and enlightening. Dr. Munnings and Dr. Bethel, welcome to University Drive.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
Yes, good afternoon.
We like to think about the University of the Bahamas as a local institution with international reach and exposure. And you guys are going to talk about that and how that is shaping and paving the way for a myriad of opportunities, not just for our faculty and staff, but also for our students. You were both recent participants and visitors to a trip to Ghana, and I've heard so much about it that I had to have you on the show. So I'm going to ask, we're going to dive right into this conversation, and we're going to talk about how did this all come about? Can you share with my listening audience how this was initiated and what piqued your interest for you to get involved and to say, hey, I'm going to make this trip?
I'll start first if Dr. Bethel doesn't mind. The initiation of this trip was actually more from a cultural aspect. Dr. Ian Strong, our campus president, was the person that initially brought the idea to my department, and I'm in the global education department here at UB North. So he brought it to me as to spearhead us finding persons that would be interested in attending this trip or going with us on this trip. The main focus was going to be a cultural focus because we were informed that the foundation of Jalkadu and the person that John Canoe was named after, which is John Canoe, originated from this area. So that was the main interest in the trip initially. And so, of course, the excitement grew as persons learned about it. And we were able to have it turn into more than just the cultural trip that we had hoped and turn more academic in terms of us. And by us, I mean the two other deans that went on it for vacation, so they thought, ended up visiting four campuses while we were in Ghana. And we were able to liaise with their officers and talk about possibilities of student exchange and study abroad opportunities that may arise from us being able to partner with them.
Dr. Bethel, I'm going to ask you to jump in. And before you conclude, I'd like for you to also share with us how many people went with you guys and who are some of the other colleagues that also participated in this trip? Because you mentioned some deans and other things, Dr. Munnings. So I want us to have a full appreciation for what that that cadre of persons looks like on that trip.
Well, the reason I went is very simple, in a complex sort of way. A few years ago, we went to Dubai, and I didn't go. And I look back now, and I regretted that I did not go. I did not take the opportunity to go with the group. So I said to myself, next time UB goes somewhere, I am on that trip. Well, it just so happens they decided, of course, to go to Ghana. And I'm going to tell you now, Africa was not on my bucket list. I don't need to see lions, tigers, and bears. I've been to the zoo. So it was just not something, not someplace I was considering going. I still have my grandkids. Disney World, yeah, okay. Orlando, for sure, but Africa and Ghana in particular, no. So when UB, when I heard UB was going, I said, okay, this could be my once in a lifetime. This is it. I'm gone. And that is how I ended up going on this trip. And I can tell you now that I've gone, I won't go back. I would like to go back. I'm not just saying that right so because we're on the show. Honestly, I would go back. I would go back. And so it was just that it was just that kind of a trip where when you get to a place you realize, wow, okay, all right, I need to go back to make sure, like when you have a good movie and you want to make sure you catch that twist and those pieces that you missed because the movie you couldn't stop it. Yeah, that's where I'm at with this. I want to go back to get what I missed.
Well, before we, sorry, Dr. Munnings, you want to add something to that?
Yes, I wanted to let you know we initially started off as a group of 20 that were leaving here. Unfortunately, two persons had to drop off at the end of the day, and so it was a group of 18. There were 14 persons from 15, sorry, 15 persons from Grand Bahama, two persons from New Providence, and then one from Canada that has UB affiliations. She is a relative of one of the members at the university. So there were two deans that went with us. Like I said, they thought they were going on vacation, and like a week before the trip, found out that they would be visiting schools and on behalf of the university. And then we also had a few other employees at the university, three other employees at the university, and two adjunct faculty, and then the rest were just basically because of our community, those that new persons on going on the trip and or who are just related to us because of our affiliation with the community.
So Dr. Bethel has already piqued our interest because he initially said, and I like your frankness and your honesty that you didn't go on the trip to Dubai and then you were kicking yourself in the butt and was like, why didn't I take that opportunity? This opportunity presented itself, and while it wasn't on your bucket list or nowhere on your radar, you realized that it was an opportunity to be seized. You seized the opportunity. And you said that it's one of those places where you could return. What is it about Ghana for both of you? What were some of the highlights and some of the things, like you said, that movie where you catch the plot, but you won't catch it better. So you got to watch
Yes.
the movie again. As you put it, the analogy that you gave, what are some of the things that would make you want to return to Ghana? And I want you to delve into, if you can, the rich cultural tapestry that you may have experienced and that connection to Junkanoo, because Dr. Munnings initially said that this was sparked from a cultural perspective and the foundation of Junkanoo, but it was you guys allowed it to organically morph into other opportunities. And I want you to share all of those things with our listening audience.
For me, I did not expect to have the emotional connection that I did with Ghana. I did not think that it would. When we participated, we went to some a few museums and we went to a few of the forts in Ghana that date back to slavery days and when. Sorry, when a person would have left Africa, our forefathers, our ancestors would have left Africa to head into the Bahamas and the Caribbean as slaves. One of the museums, and unfortunately, I'm not going to try to say the name of the museum. I will spell it for you and then you can research it. It's NKYINKYIM Museum. In Ada, and that's a little city in Ghana. When we went there, The artist that was there, the artist that started the museum, has pieces on, and his name is Kwame Koutou Bamfo. And he has some pieces at this museum. They depicted slaves that had drowned on the excursion to the Bahamas, or crusades in the Bahamas, whatever you want to tag it as. And that hit me. It hit me so much because I thought about the resilience of the ancestors of ours that made it, and how we are resilient people by nature. Because it brought me back to Dorian and what happened with Dorian, and how resilient the per people have been since then to be able to bounce back and to still have a community and to still be able to move forward. And then it took me back to link that with my DNA. To be able to say, hey, that's why I'm so resilient, or that's why we are so resilient, because our foreparents were resilient. They didn't have a choice in it. That's why we don't have a choice in it. It's embedded into our DNA. One of the other things was food, the similarities in food, even though they're not the same, the similarities in the concept of us eating our soups and our sauces. That's a lot of things that they have, our rice and even then, morphing into culture, the similarities in our culture, the costumes that we saw that depicted their version of John Canoe. And unfortunately, I don't remember, so I hope our daughter Bethel remembers the name of their festival. But the similarities in the costuming and everything, the link was just too much to ignore. To see that where we would have come from in terms of our ancestry. So that for me was the biggest takeaway from the trip.
Let me join in here when you talk about the cultural aspect. Going to Ghana in some regards was almost a trip down memory lane, looking back in the past in the Bahamas. I can see my great grandmother. I remember when we used to walk down the Port of Ski Dock. Because back in them days, you didn't the bus system wasn't as elaborate as it is right now in New Providence. And I remember the days when we used to have to walk so far to get a bus, or if you could pay for a haka. That was our Uber and our Lyft back in those days, or if you could afford a taxi. But I remember walking to Port of Ski Dock, from Port of Ski Dock rather, and Mama might have had a broker sap or some parcel that she got on the mail boat, and she would walk with that on her head. And we got to Ghana and Hunter, the not a Hunter, the Accra, the capital. And women all are about the place walking with things carrying on their head, from things that they are transporting from one place to the other, or things that they're selling from a basket. So, and the dresses that they wore on the streets just remind me of how we used to look back in the day. And so, it was like going on a trip down memory lane. But as you spoke about, Dr. Manning spoke about the museum, we went to several different museums. Now, I'm going to say this to you. A museum is simply a place that has some old things in it. There was this one museum, and I'm going to come back to that. There's this museum that you just talked about where there were these sculptures, right? The busts, because we were headshots only of these individuals who were transported over on the various slave ships. Now, these are actual living people that they used to make these headshots, and they put these people in the sand. Now I'm gonna go back to when I said that a museum is just a place of collection of old things. What makes a museum an enriching experience is the story that is told and that is associated, is conveyed with those old things. So when you see the busts, if you just see these heads in the sand, they're just some nice sculptures. But when you hear the story and you understand the struggle, you understand the torture, you understand the pain, and you understand the angst and the anguish that is associated with all that you see there, it gave it a different perspective and a depth of meaning. And so we came away from that experience much more enriched. As a matter of fact, That is where we saw the goat that is on top of the there's a goat sculpture on top of the roof.
Yes.
And there is a story behind how that goat got on top of the roof. And because there's a goat that's looking up at the goat on the roof and says, and asks the question, how did you get up there? And the goat on top of the roof tells the story as to how she got up on top of that roof. Now, you can go to Ghana to get that story. Yes. So I'm going to leave that one right there. But there were some other museums that we went to, and it's the same thing. The stories that were told drew you in, or drew us into what we saw, and it just made it a much more memorable and enriching experience. Now, culturally, obviously, we went to some of the forts. They have forts, not unlike, excuse me, our forts. We saw one of the forts, I think it was, where it's in, Takoradi, no. Elmina Castle. Elmina Castle. And that is the fort where that's in Takoradi, where they had the point of no return, which means that once a person passed through that point, they knew they weren't coming back to Ghana. They were going into the new world, as they would call it. And of course, being there, you know, just to be there, and you see the wood. I mean, you see the stone structure. It's just an old building, or old building complex. But they had a story. To see when they took us into one of the cells, and they slammed the door behind us, and they also pointed out the room where the stone wall was scratched in. And that represented, that was actually the remnants of slaves who were dying of hunger and starvation. And they were just scratching away for their life, that place. And so that was a powerful, powerful, powerful experience right there. And, you know, that was the kind of experience that we had. And it wasn't morbid. No, it wasn't morbid.
No.
You know, it was enriching. And I'm going to tell you, if I go back, God willing, spare life, I'm going back to Elmina Castle. Now, this time I'm going back with my camera and my equipment, okay? So I can catch all of those bits and pieces that I missed, okay? I'm making my documentary, but I'm going back this time locked and loaded, ready to capture every scene and every experience.
Both of you shared some very rich details. And you said when you go back, you're going with your camera and locked and loaded and ready to capture all of these things. Were there preconceived notions that you had prior to the trip? And what may they have been, and how were they dispelled upon your arrival?
For me, I've visited Africa already. So I've been to 5 other countries in Africa already. And so I would say, yes, I had some preconceived notions. I was like, oh, okay, we're going to see, like Dr. Bethel alluded to, some lions, some tigers, some lions, some elephants, maybe some warthogs and all of this other stuff, and see some nature, and then we're going to come back and everything's going to be dandy. I did not. And so they were dispelled by the museums and the culture. The links to the Bahamas that the Hunter Nation has, and the food, even that, the notions were dispelled based on what I saw and experienced. They were.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I may tell my age here, but you know, Africa, Tarzan, Jane, Boy, and recently, Simba and
Mufasa and Nala.
You understand, right? You understand. So I look in the fire and the vine and the swing on. No, I didn't go for that. No. But I will say yes. And I will say I did have some preconceived, obviously. Some of them were met, number one. I don't want to disparage. I don't want to discourage anybody. But if you go, you better go with your fan, because the place is humid. I'm going to tell you that. This is where... it's a humid place.
Yeah.
Okay. Now the Bahamas is also you can imagine also in the summertime. That is how Ghana felt in the winter. Okay. So you know you gotta go with that. Now
People will swear that it's hotter now than it was back then. It's not hotter now than it was back then. What has happened is that we have become more sophisticated in the Bahamas because we now have control in climates with AC, and we spend most of the time in AC. But when everything was hot, we were traumatized to that. Yeah. But other than that,
yeah, you know, when you watch TV, you only see the poor parts of Africa. And that's like someone taking shots at the Bahamas, and the only thing you see is some settlement on a remote part of an island, and you say that's the entirety of the Bahamas. No. I mean, when you go to Accra is a developed city. I'm talking, it's a developed city. It is a modern city. Okay. We had cell service everywhere we went. And when I say everywhere, you know, NASA only half hour one way and 40 minutes the next way.
This place, I'd say that you were driving for hours and I'm trying to reach the end of this country yet. This place is huge, okay? This is a land large. Don't mind that map that you see on the wall. That map is most likely skewed towards the west, enlarging in some countries and diminishing the size of Africa as a continent.
Ghana's a big place. And of course, there are those small towns that remind me a lot of ways of our settlements and remind me in some ways of what New Providence used to look like in some areas and may still look like in other areas. Just the way we have sand, these people got red dirt all over the place.
Yes.
They got red dirt all.
Rich red dirt
all over the place. And so I, you know, they're very modern, just like we are. Okay. So in terms of those notions, yeah, you have preconceived notions, but those things get us. Like I said, I would go back. And I'm not saying that because I'm trying to encourage other people to go. I'm saying that because if my wife would allow me to go, I was going back in October. When they go back, I'm serious, I'm going back. Africa was not on my bucket list. The zoo, I could go to Florida for one zoo. Okay? To see tigers and all the rest of that. But now that I've been, yeah, God willing, spare life, I plan to go back.
Well, thank you for that, both of you. We're going to begin to pivot. We're going to take our first break here on University Drive. And when we return, I want to talk about your experience with the other universities that you had an opportunity to visit, interact with, and some of the opportunities that emanated as a result of those visits. So we're going to take our first break here on University Drive. I'm your host, Nikki Bo. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Chapter One Bookstore is proud to serve the students, faculty, and staff of the University of the Bahamas and the community at large. We are the premier choice for the purchase of university textbooks and supplies and UB logo apparel, paraphernalia, and gifts. We also carry a wide variety of school supplies, learning aids, and leisure books. Visit our copy center for all of your printing, copying, and binding needs. Chapter One Bookstore is located on the ground floor of the Michael H. Eldon Complex on University Drive. Shop with us on Monday through Saturday. You can contact us at 397-2650 or email at chapter1@ub.edu.bs. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Chapter One Bookstore. Chapter One, the premier choice.
Are you ready to take your knowledge or career to new heights? Don't wait to invest in your future. Do it now. How? Earn a professional development certificate from University of the Bahamas. Whether you're looking to enhance your leadership abilities, sharpen your technical skills, or explore a new field entirely, our Continuing Education and Lifelong Learning Center has the ideal course for you. We offer single-phase electrical, ethics and procurement, accounting for entrepreneurship, stop managing, start leading, dynamic presentations, digital marketing, superior customer service, and justice of the peace. We even have courses on smartphone photography, TikTok videos, defensive driving, and interacting with difficult people. Or open the door to new languages with English as a second language, conversational Chinese, and Spanish in the workplace. Our instructors are experts in their fields and they're here to support you every step of the way. Call us at 302-4449. Enroll today.
Welcome back to University Drive. If you're just joining the show, my guests today are colleagues from UB North, and it's always a delight to be connecting with them and to have them in studio with us. We're joined by Dr. Lathira Munnings and Dr. Adrian Bethel, both of whom recently took a trip to Ghana, and they are sharing their experience and what that trip meant for them on so many different levels and fronts. We were talking about the cultural aspect and kind of getting a background feel of what initiated this trip and what their initial experiences were. But it wasn't just the cultural aspect. While they were in Ghana, they were able to visit several universities. And it was a group of 20, and she said 18 were from, sorry, it was a group of 18, 15 from Grand Bahama, one from New Providence, and one from Canada that was connected to somebody from the university. And Dr. Bethel made it clear that Africa was not on his radar. Dr. Munnings, on the other hand, had been to 5 other countries in Africa. And they both spoke about, you know, our perception of Africa is about the safaris, the wildlife, the poverty that we see. And it's so much more than what Hollywood or some of these nonprofits present to us for whatever reason it is. Let's delve into the educational opportunities and the visits that you had. And I'm going to ask you to list the names of the schools and to go into detail about the visits to those schools and the opportunities.
Excuse me. But we visited 4 of the universities in Ghana. There was Takoradi Technical University, which was our first stop on the tour. And there we were able to meet with some of their university's officials. They are more of a technical school, and so their programs, other than their environmental programs, would be geared to more the technicals, the welding, the plumbing, and installation. Their population is about between 17,000 and 18,000 students. So they are a little bit larger than we are, but they were excited to be able to form any type of student exchanges or any type of partnerships with us where we would be able to exchange information and possibly program formulation or course formulations with them. So we are looking at those type of partnerships with them. Another university that we would have visited was the University of Cape Coast. The University of the Bahamas already has a partnership MOU in place with them. And so when we arrived, of course, the focus was more on how we can get this MOU active. So that was the basis of their collaboration with us. Their population is about 78,000 students. So this shows the difference in the type of numbers that they have. One of the features at their university was started by the government to train other educators. So that's their main focus. Of course, their education department is huge on campus and is one of their major focuses, but they do have other schools that they have that relate to ours. They have a hospitality and tourism department. They have a school of business. So much the same as we have here, at the University of the Bahamas. And so their focus, like I said, was just to get us to engage with them since the MOU has been signed. It was only signed in 2023, so it's not been long, but they want to have more of an active agreement between the two universities. And so that's what we're in process of seeing where our next steps are to garner some more activity with faculty and students between our universities. The other university that we visited was Osheshe University. This particular university was founded by a former Google executive. He formed this university basically to go ahead and give back to the community. One of the major aspects of this university, Osheshe, and what I found most emphasis was placed on at this university was entrepreneurship. Every program that they offer at the university has to have an entrepreneurship component. There's an entrepreneurship class, or you can have an entrepreneurship certificate at the end of day from this university in your with your major on in terms of this university. So entrepreneurship is one of the main emphasis. So of course that piqued our interest, as I know much the same can be said here, is we're focusing on entrepreneurship with our IDB project MUB Ignite. We've been focusing a lot on entrepreneurship and helping the community with entrepreneurship. So of course that is a focus. They would like to explore COIL opportunities with us. And COIL is Collaborative Online International Learning, where their lecturer could be teaching a class of students in collaboration with one of our lecturers, of course, to teach a course or a class and give the students a more global look. Outlook on the classes that they are learning. And then they have a very vibrant summer program where they integrate high school students with their university, which assists the high school students in seeing their future at a university. So it's like a mentoring program that they have that gives high school students an insight into what university or college life looks like even before they actually ever attend their first day of college. And the last university that we visited was the University of Ghana. And one of the significance of this university is their entire executive team is all women. And so that was one of their claims to fame, basically, because that was one of the things they mentioned first and foremost as we got in the door and sat down at the table. And they would like to partner with us as well, of course, and do some COIL experiences. But one of the features is their summer program. In their summer program, they do it for an entire month of June. And they create batik fabric there at the university during that month. They were extremely interested in the COM to be able to partner with the COM. So that's something that we're looking to get on stream with getting them connected with persons that are at our hospitality, in our hospitality area, for them to be able to get more of a grasp on that. Their population of students is about 76,000. So, and one of the things while we were at the University of Ghana, it took us a long while to get to the campus, and we thought would be late because there was so much traffic leading to the campus. The campus sponsors the athletic sports for the entire country. And so what we were caught in traffic because everyone was headed to the stadium because it was the initial opening ceremony for the sporting event for the country. that the university was actually hosting. So much in the same vein as us, with the Sports Center being right on the side of University of the Bahamas in New Providence, their sporting complex was, before we could even enter the campus, we had to pass the sporting complex. So that's why we were almost late. We were there. We got 2 minutes to spare to walk upstairs. Those were the four universities that we explored while we were there, and we have already started engaging in conversations on MOUs and looking at partnering and seeing what will be able to come from the collaborations, hopefully in the future.
And for my part, I went to no university. Instead, I went to a cultural event that was the highlight of my experience there. There was a naming ceremony where persons in our group, they were inducted into various tribes, and they were given their African names. And then after that, because this university business was happening at different stages, but let me lump all of that in to say that we did the naming ceremony. There were some African chiefs there. We had some photo ops, but then we went to a town, a hunter, Princess Town. That's where we had the dance. Oh, Princess Town. I've been calling it round off. Listen, we went to Princess Town, and I just got a text from my wife, and she wanted me to let you know that we were not afraid at any time during our visit. Ghana is like the second safest country in all of the continent. We were there, and we were like,
We walked around.
I mean, it was, it's, it's just no fair. We were there. It was just wonderful. But Princess Town, that is where what happened. When I got there, let me tell you what the highlight was. My daughter, she was with us, and she disappeared. I didn't even know where she went. I didn't know what was planned. And so they had, when we were back in high school, when we were back in primary school, people come and visit sometime. You have the cultural things that you put on. They still do that nowadays. Well, some of the village girls, they had them dressed in some kente cloth dresses, and they did some dances. And my daughter, they invited them to be happy. So, I was just happy taking pictures and videos and all the rest of that. And we had,
They gave her the entire outfit.
oh yeah, they gave her the outfit. That's
And
right. She
she
still
and
has
my
that.
parents were
Yes,
dressed like them,
that's
so there
right.
was no difference.
That's right.
So if we didn't know her, we wouldn't have known she was a
That's
whole
right.
lot of us instead.
Well, except for the fact that all those girls are slim. So we could see the difference fast food mix. But she was there, and she was a part of it, and she dances. She's over here at the dance studio. So she catches on pretty quickly, but she was there. It was a wonderful time. We took pictures with the kids, and that was I took some beautiful pictures. Beautiful pictures. This little girl, she was in there playing in the dirt, just like how you got children playing in the sand on the beach. And I took a picture, and she has this most beautiful smile. And so that was the highlight of my trip, really, just to have her interact and us interacting with the people in that town. And that's where we had lunch.
Yes, they provided for
Provided lunch, all the coconut water you want to drink. And then we went
with
up
the jelly.
to with the jelly. And you didn't have to pay extra for nothing. No jelly. They give it to you. And then we went up to the castle that was there, right? Now, what was important about Princess Town was, I think John Canoe was from there. Yes, and this is where the rebellion took place. This is where they fought against slavery. When they found out what was happening to Ghanaians and other Africans being taken off of the continent, they decided that they had to put a stop to this. And this is where they fought against slavery. They actually fought. And the Europeans, they were taking a beating. They were really taking a beating. But that was the highlight. So while they were doing all that university this and university that, I was getting my lesson at the University of Princess Town settlement. So that was wonderful.
Well, education happens all around us, and it doesn't have to be in a university setting or a formal setting for us to learn something that we didn't previously know. And I think we can all attest that we are lifelong learners and we learn something new every day in different ways from different mediums, but it is all enriching nonetheless. Dr. Munnings, I want to swing things back to you. You spoke about the four universities that you visited. Of the four, which one most resonated with you and which one had more similarities to University of the Bahamas, in your opinion?
For me, believe it or not, the one that had the most similarities for me with University of the Bahamas was the University of Ghana. And not from the standpoint of the women leadership, but from the standpoint of what they offered and where they were taking the university, the things that they were doing that so aligned with us, looking at doing research, student and faculty exchanges. That was one of the things that they spoke about first and foremost at University of Ghana. And even so much as the COM program, they do have a hospitality program, but I feel that they would benefit from ours. Reason being, I think that hospitality is more is emphasized more here in the Bahamas than it is in Ghana. Like they serve you to serve you, but it's not like, okay, do you need anything else? Like that personalized service that we're accustomed to here in terms of the way we train our service. Like they put your food on the table, they get your order, and they come and go, but it's not the individual type service. Like you're my only customer, even though I have five other tables going on. That we have here. And so in instances as that, I would see University of Ghana being our biggest comparison between them and University of Cape Coast, where we already have the partnership. I could see that they align closely with ours, but even still, I think University of Ghana would be just a little edged a little bit more. In terms of where I would like for us to be, and I hate to make this choice when you asked me, so I'm going to say Ashesi University was the one that I thought was the most beautiful. And I can attest to that with the pictures that we saw and the pictures if anyone goes and looks at images from Ashesi University and see the university themselves. This is somewhere where if I said I wanted to go to a university in Africa, Ashesi University would be top-notch for me. It is a private university for the most part, but that does not say that the average local cannot apply because there are scholarships there. So this is a university that even though private, it would gear itself to anyone that's looking for a university degree. One of the things that made it so cosmetically appealing for me, it's very environmental. They have their graduation on their front lawn. That's inside the campus on the front lawn. And I'm sorry, I'm showing Dr. Bethel the pictures that I pulled up. And it is, like I said, beautiful in terms of environment. It made every effort to keep the environment around it as safe as it could and build a campus and make it sustainable. So they have solar, they have wells dug, they have water containers to catch rainwater, and all of these other features. But it is like a college of the 21st century in terms of its look, its aesthetic look.
This is the school that was sponsored by the former Google
Yes,
executive.
the
Okay.
former Google executive. Yes, he's the president there.
Okay.
And so this is that was the university in terms of eye appealing, where I would say not that they're not appealing otherwise in terms of their academics, because they are as well, because that's the university that's the entrepreneurship focus. is one of their main focuses. But in terms of aesthetics, that was one. And one of the things I noted was each of the universities, doesn't matter private or public, the land was given to them by the tribal leaders. So they each had to request the land before they give them it. And so, of course, the community has a say in whether or not they were able to build there. So it's a test to the fact that the community is involved since they've gotten to build where they are, each of the four universities.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Dr. Munnings. As we wrap up, because I don't know where the time went, but it moved by very quickly. What are some of the possibilities or opportunities that you hope will emanate for University of the Bahamas with those four universities that you mentioned? And COIL, I'd never heard that term, Collaborative Online International Learning. How do you think the University of the Bahamas faculty, students, staff can benefit from COIL partnerships?
For COIL partnerships, I think that that is the wave of the future. The thing is, it's not that it's not familiar to a lot of university personnel. Some of them have been doing it maybe in previous employment with other organizations. But the COIL experience is something that the students will be able to learn globally. It's what COIL really is, essentially, is doing a study abroad without leaving home. So those students that do not wish to travel, being involved in a COIL experience is something that would be able to benefit them culturally, because even though it's you're learning, you are also learning from others that may be in other parts of the world, whether it's one or two. Usually with the COIL experiences, it's not more than 2 to 3 COIL partners together in terms of professors that are collaborating and creating a course or using a course that's already created and teaching different segments. So you're learning from someone that may not live in your same geographic location. So it's giving you that cultural and global outlook on the course that you're taking. And so that's where it benefits the students. And then for the professors, the lecturers and faculty themselves, their benefit is now I get to share this load with someone else. They get to give me another perspective of how I can go ahead and navigate this course now and in the future to make it more global, make my students more globally aware of things that they're learning about their environment, whether it's an English course, a history course, a social science course, marine biology course, whatever it is. And I just see COIL as the way for us to help our students to realize, and it actually will also more than not catalyst our students into wanting to do a global exchange, or a global study abroad. So these are avenues that I see that COIL will be beneficial in, as well as helping us to be, as a university, strengthen our programs and what we offer here at the University of the Bahamas.
Thank you so much. We are almost out of time. Before we wrap up, I'd like for you to share some closing words of encouragement and even to encourage some of our listeners to explore these kinds of opportunities, study abroad opportunities, to get more involved in the university community outside of the classroom. What are your parting words for our listening audience as a result of your experience in Ghana?
As a result of my experience in Ghana, I would say for our listening audience, don't be closed-minded about traveling abroad. I know that a lot of persons, like Dr. Babo alluded to, that I mean, Africa is not on my list. I don't need to go. I live in a hot climate. And it is so much more than we see on The Lion King. on stories on the zoo or going to the zoo and these animals in the zoo or even things that you would have seen on TV, the Tarzan and Jane. It is so much more than that. The culture, the history, the people, the experience in itself is so much more than you could even fathom. And it's hard to explain because it's something that you just have to experience. And so that would be one of my talking points for visiting Ghana and any other cultural slash academic experience like this. Be more culturally aware because we are becoming more of a global country by the second. I'm not even going to say by the minute, by the second becoming more of a global country. And so we don't want to be left behind in our mindset and being globally aware of others and their culture around us and how we are to interact and to merge forward.
Well, I think with that said, I might just share the story of the goat because now it seems to fit the sort of apropos. There's something about this is a form of qualitative research called ethnographic studies, where you immerse yourself in a culture to try and understand the culture to better. Having gone and experienced the culture in that sort of way, and this that experience in Princesstown, for example, left a lasting memory with me because I felt immersed and connected more so with people. But having gone and seeing images of the, and being reminded of images of my past here in the Bahamas, I remember the story of the goat. One goat, she's up on the top of the roof, and there's another one at the bottom looking at the one on the top, asking, "Well, how'd you get up there?" Well, the one on the top, she says, "Listen, you got to go back where you came from. And you got to learn everything you can learn about where you came from. And then with all your might, you run. You keep running and you don't stop running." And the thing is that the goat at the bottom listens but stays right there, doesn't move, and never gets higher. Having gone back to see where we came from, to understand a little bit more about what makes the Bahamas, what makes the Bahamas the unique place that it is, has only enriched me as a Bahamian and has caused me to appreciate my culture that much more and my university much more. So this was a wonderful experience, and I will say to everybody who's listening, you had a great school with a great group of people who have a global mindset. This, if you allow this experience to do what it needs to do with you, it'll transform you into a better person. And that's better for the entire Bahamas.
Thank you so much, Dr. Munnings and Dr. Bethel. And before we conclude, I just want to encourage persons at the university. If you have students at the university, if you are a student, if you are considering the university for your child, in the fall semester, there are a plethora of opportunities, of study abroad opportunities, where your child gets to pay UB's tuition and they can study in Sweden, in Korea, in Japan, in Canada, in Norway, in France, in Spain, in the United States, in Canada. We have strengthened our international partnerships in recent months, and all for the students. They get that local education of excellence, but with a global perspective, and we're providing the opportunities. It's a matter of our students taking advantage of the opportunities. But we here at the university, we are doing our part to make sure that our students are not left behind, that they are exposed globally to global best practices. They will realize that some of the challenges that we experience are not unique to us. They are some of the things that happen across all universities. But to even gain a better appreciation for what we have here at home. And I think international and global exposure is always, always, always beneficial. So again, thank you, Dr. Munnings and Dr. Bethel.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode of University Drive. We hope that you take advantage of all of the opportunities that the university has to offer for study abroad exchange experiences and student exchange programs, even as well as visiting other countries and cross-cultural exposure. For this podcast and more UB information, be sure to visit our website at www.ub.edu.bs and be sure to follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, and LinkedIn. And join us next week, same time, same radio station, for another exciting edition of University Drive. I'm your host, Nikki Bo. Enjoy the remainder of your day.
University Drive is a production of the Office of University Relations at University of the Bahamas. All rights reserved.